Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Special Teams, a production of iHeartRadio. Inside Special Teams with Jason Smith and Mike Harmon, our weekly podcast where we look back at some special teams and the big games and big years these teams had in sports. Last week, we took a look back at a big game number 163 in Major League Baseball in 2007. And as we hinted last week, we're going to look at another big game number 163 in Major League Baseball, as today it's the 2009 AL Central tiebreaker between the Twins and the Tigers. And if you thought we had insanity with Matt Holliday not touching the plate and the Rockies beating the Padres last week, well, it ended the same type of insanity in Minnesota with this one this year, Mike Harmon.
Well, you know, you can't have an easy end. If you got to play to 163, you can't expect it to end normally. Can you? I mean, you've already battled to a tie through the trials and tribulations and really some weird stretches of the season for both these squads to get to this place. So, yeah, it couldn't be normal. You've got to have some extra drama mixed therein.
So how did we get to the game number 163 tiebreaker between the Twins and the Tigers and all of the madness that ensued? Well, these two teams battled all September. They had a four-game series in the next-to-last series of the year that really got ugly. There were a lot of hit-by-pitches. There were ejections. So these teams clearly had bad blood going into the final weekend of the season. Now, going into the last three games, the Tigers had a two-game lead with three to play. So you're thinking, okay, we're good. And then Mike Harmon's White Sox get involved.
Yeah, they did.
Detroit loses the next two to Chicago as Minnesota sweeps the Royals. So both teams finish 86 and 76. Now, these are not great records. So one team is going to go in to win the AL Central and the other team is going to go home. The game was in Minnesota due to a change in the rules. Remember last week we talked about Padres and Colorado Rockies and they had a coin flip. Well, the coin flip, they didn't do it. And they changed the rule to be whoever had the better record in the head-to-head series that year, that was where the game was going to be played. Well, Minnesota won the season series with the Detroit Tigers 11-7, so the game's in Minnesota. So no coin flip, home field's determined by head-to-head, so the game is in Minnesota as the Tigers go in reeling, looking like they were going to be the team that won the AL Central, just win a game. Nope, the White Sox get involved, and your White Sox, Mike Harmon, do something really, really good for the first time since they won the World Series a few years before.
And one of the few times that they've done it ever since. I mean, it's been a bunch of false starts and a lot of selling change and hope on the south side of Chicago in terms of the lineups. But yes, getting involved in the mix to force a playoff battle here. I mean, it's again, I love the, hey, we changed the rules. So it's the better of the regular season series. Just seems odd. But hey, that tiebreaker is as good as any other. I figured it would have been total points or something like a fantasy league. It's gonna, would have been. How many runs you score?
Total nope. points.
You lose.
We used to do in one fantasy league I had where it was the what bench player scored the most points.
Yes.
Or what did your bench score more points? That was always the tiebreaker.
Well, then you should have lost by that logic because you left them on the bench.
Yeah, that is kind of a backwards way to do it. But you still drafted the guy, though. So, okay, yeah. You drafted him on your team just to put him
no,
in
the it's true. I do constantly use the argument that I'd rather have him rot on my bench than be in an active lineup to beat me. So I understand that.
So the journey for the Detroit Tigers, Miguel Cabrera was in the middle of what is going to be an easy Hall of Fame run. Nobody hit like him over the prime of his career. The rest of the Tigers lineup was okay. They had pretty good power numbers. Brandon Inge, who was always underrated. Curtis Granderson, this is when he was starting to become a really big star in the major leagues. You know, he winds up going to the Yankees after this and really becoming a big star. Goes to the Mets later on, plays in the World Series. It was a pretty solid lineup up and down. And their starting pitching had a big three that was good enough with Justin Verlander, who was a superstar. Mm-hmm. Rick Porcello, Edwin Jackson, they both won games. And look, does this look like an 86-win team? This absolutely looks like an 86-win team.
Well, you got 46 wins between those three starters, 19-9, 13-9, and 14-9 between them. You mentioned the Grandy man, you know, his usual 250 with 30 bombs. So you get that. Magyl Ordóñez didn't hit for power, but still a 310 hitter there. And, you know, because you got to have those White Sox connections for me to make it interesting at a whole level.
I specifically didn't mention Magyl Ordóñez because I knew you'd want to bring up Mags.
Of course, yeah. You know, and really you can thank the Cleveland Indians for allowing this game or anything to happen because the Tigers dominated them in the season series 14-4. So,
yeah, but this is back when everybody dominated the Indians. So I think you can say, that's true. Okay.
But they took care of business on a large level to get to the dance. But, you know, obviously when you're talking about getting to a record of 86-76, not a lot of, domination going on here. It's how do we eke out and squeeze out a win? One of the many years we would talk about closer Fernando Rodney, mm-hmm. for sure.
Oh, we'll have so more we on him that. Later on. Fernando Rodney. Of course. I felt so bad for the guy. I really did after this game. I felt so bad for Fernando Rodney.
But it's not often you can go through, and we talk about the starting pitching for the Tigers, Jason, but you also had three relievers win at least six games. To show how utilized and effective they were. Shea, Lyon, and Minor, between them, they record another 19 wins. Forget about rolling into the rotation. Nope. Lung relief is really where we're going to find our wins here.
So if this Tigers team looked like an 86-win team, if anything, this 2009 Twins team underachieved because they absolutely crushed the baseball. Joe Mauer, this was the best of all his great years from 2006 through 2013. He was the AL MVP. This was the last of Justin Morneau's great years. He had a phenomenal four-year run from 2006 to 2010. Jason Kubel, Michael Kadire, they were underrated. They had four guys in their starting lineup with at least 28 home runs and 94 RBIs. You should win more than 86 games when you have this kind of, even though your starting pitching wasn't that good, your bullpen was phenomenal. Joe Nathan at the back of that bullpen, he was so nasty. I mean, Joe Nathan was, he was so much fun because he came in, he had stuff on a string. Nathan was so nasty and I loved watching him pitch. And you see this way this team is put together, the way they hit and the way they have their bullpen set up. If a team is set up like this now in the majors, they win 100 games. We got a great lineup and a great bullpen, we win 100 games. But here back in 2009, they went 86.
You know, only three starters finish with more than 10 wins. One of those, Kevin Slowey, who was the definition of, all right, get me through my minimum and move on. 16 games started, Jason. He pitched 90 and two-thirds innings for the year. So operational efficiency at its finest. Even had a Carl Pavano reference here.
Yeah.
Along the way. And R.A. Dickey, whenever you can add him to it. But yeah, from an offensive perspective, you know, we talked last week about the Rockies and just the conga line they had going around the bases. This was more or less the same. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, the only thing you were missing was a speed element. You got a little of that from Denard Span off the bench. But otherwise, I mean, you were just batting around all day long. A couple of guys who were big swings without a big batting average. But you had that production, that power throughout the lineup to try to just generate big run production.
Mm. And, you know, just real quick on Joe Nathan, because before we really get into the meat of the game, is that this is a guy who retired, I think, in the top 10 of saves overall. I mean, he had that good a career, and he went to Stony Brook to play college baseball. He was a shortstop and teams wanted to make him a pitcher. He didn't want to do it. So he left the game, said, "I'm done. I'm going to leave the game." And he went back to school. He went, like, he got a business degree, and then finally realized, let me give it one more shot. I'll pitch. Okay, I'll pitch. And here he is. He turns into one of the best closers in the game. I mean, his run from 2004 to 2009 was awesome. This is a guy that was like, "We would like you to be a pitcher." Nah, not going to do it. After a year, all right, I'll try it. Oh, hey, I was pretty good at this pitching thing. Worked out okay.
What are we looking at? We're looking at 377 career saves.
Yeah.
So with a 2.87 ERA, 64-34 career record, should we get some knocks on the door for the hall for old Joe Nathan here?
It's tough. Closers are tough, man. Unless you're at the very, very top, it's really difficult because you have to overcome the stigma of how much did you play? Did you play all that much?
No,
it's difficult. It's difficult. Now, if you get a run now where in the next 5 or 7 years, you see closer numbers come way down as teams don't rely on one guy, Edwin Diaz. You know, if you see that happening and teams don't rely on one guy for whatever reason and save numbers go down, could I see in the future, like, the Veterans Committee going, "Oh, boy, you know, hey, Joe, boy, I'll tell you what, everybody else is, Joe Nathan's in the top 10. No one's getting close." I could see it, but only if the position of closer changes in Major League Baseball, which is that really going to happen across the sport? I don't think it will, but you never know. You never know, Edwin Diaz. You never know when teams decide, "Hey, we can't rely on one guy, and let's bring a few people in to close." And all it takes is one team to make it to the World Series using three closers, and suddenly everybody's going to do it.
Closer by committee, bringing DHs on board full-time in both leagues. I mean, some of these changes could spur a look for that soul patch-wearing Joe Nathan to find his way into the Hall of Fame.
So that's how both teams wind up in game number 163 in 2009. What happened next? Well, let me just say, the first 9 innings were okay. Extra innings, that's when things got nuts. That's coming up next right here, Special Teams.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. "I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge." Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
It was Rick Porcello and Scott Baker facing off in game number 163 to determine the AL Central champion in 2009. Now, despite neither of these guys being an ace, both pitched surprisingly well. Orlando Cabrera had a big two-run homer to give Minnesota a 4-3 lead, and Magly Ordóñez tied it with a homer in the eighth inning. Closers come in, Joe Nathan for Minnesota, Fernando Rodney for Detroit. Nobody scores in the ninth inning, and that gets us to extra innings. And as I said before, this is where things get crazy. Just so you know, Nathan and Fernando Rodney, both closers, in the game in the ninth inning. In the 10th, Brandon Inge doubles to give Detroit a 5-4 lead. Okay, this is going to be it, and here's Detroit. They're going to wind up winning this game. Bottom of the 10th, Michael Kadire triples for the Twins after Ryan Rayburn completely misplays a fly ball that should have been an out. I mean, it should have been one out, and here we go. We're moving on. Matt Tolbert singles in Kadire. That ties the game at 5. Minnesota winds up loading the bases with one out. Fernando Rodney is still in the game for the Detroit Tigers. This is not the first time I'm going to say Fernando Rodney is still in the game for the Detroit Tigers, right? Nick Punto comes up. Fly ball to right field. That should have ended the game. Deep enough, going to score the winning run. But Alexi Casilla, who was pinch running, came off the bag too early, had to go back to tag third base, and got thrown out at the plate to end the inning. So we're tied at 5-5 after 10 innings. Had he not taken that step off and had to go back, he's safe. Had he just gone anyway, he's probably safe. Are you going to appeal? I mean, you might just because, all right, it's the end of the season, but I don't know that anybody would have caught that.
They just like Matt Holliday.
Hey, Holliday didn't touch the plate. Oh, don't go back there. Yeah, but Casilla came off third base. Oh, don't give me that crap. I'm not falling for that one. No, but you see, he comes off the bag and has to go back. And I don't know how you make that mistake. I get that you're jumpy. You want to get home and score the winning run. But you see where the ball is hit. You're going to get home. You're going to have to bust your ass to get home. But it's not like, oh, this is a big chance. I have to hope the guy throws wide of the plate. No, you're going to score. But because you got to go back and touch third base and come back, you get thrown out at the plate. And this is where Casilla should have been wearing the goat horns for the rest of the offseason, because this was the game-winning run, and they let the Tigers off the hook.
And you let them off the hook. You get a whole Dennis Green. You got all the way to Denny Green. Only appropriate as we have the former Vikings coach, former Northwestern coach, mixed therein. I love it.
So here's your first big thing. All right, so now we go on. We go to the 12th inning. Detroit is batting. They have the bases loaded with one out. Bobby Keppel is pitching, and he hits Brandon Inge with his first pitch. Brandon Inge is going to first base. The go-ahead run is coming in for the Tigers, except home plate umpire Randy Marr said no, Inge wasn't hit, and his at-bat has to continue. Inge winds up grounding out into a force play. Detroit doesn't score in the inning. Jim Leland said after the game, the ball hit him. I can't believe it. Replays showed the ball did hit him, but it didn't hit his body. It hit his uniform, which is a little baggy and not quite tight to his body. But you see the ball come. You see it hit his uniform, and it, you know, puts a little dent in the uniform. And you see the ball with the spin change a little bit. So that's a hit by pitch. I mean, it hits him. But because it didn't hit his body, there was no call by Randy Marsh, who thought the ball just whipped by and hit him. So that should have been a hit by pitch, but instead, no call. Inge grounds out. They get the force out at the plate, and the Twins wind up getting out of the inning.
Can't fault a good strategy. Baggy clothes.
Oh, that was Ron Hunt's big thing when he played with the Mets. I think he led the league like so many years in a row with getting hit by pitch. He would always wear baggy clothes. So he would, oh, I got hit. He got hit like 40 or 50 times in a year once. I mean, I got hit.
It's a good strategy.
I got hit. But all Inge got to do, I'm going to lean into this ball. Now, just like Buttermaker told Rudy Stein, I want you to lean into it. I don't want to get hit, Mr. Buttermaker. You want to win, don't you? Lean into it, Stein. Get hit. But again, this is where, in, you know, nowadays you would look back and say, oh, that's a hit by pitch. But just because it hits his uniform, he didn't get the call, and the Tigers wind up with no runs.
Oh, yeah, you got to sell that one.
Mm. Well, he went down. He tried to go down to first base. Randy Marsh said, nope. Stop. No, get back in.
No. That's, you got to pretend like it's a Grey's Anatomy gunshot.
Oh, my arm, it's broken. Oh, yes, it could be a fractured ulna. Why don't you go down to first base?
Yeah, the attempted sell by just kind of going, hey, look at my, I think it's broken. Like, while flapping his uniform at him, it was like Rodney Dangerfield.
So we go to the bottom of the 12th inning. Still tied. Fernando Rodney is still in the game for the Detroit Tigers. He came in the 9th inning. He's their closer. It's the 12th inning. He is still pitching. All right? Now, he's still pitching.
Make it count, man.
Which I remember watching this game going, what the hell is Jim Leland doing, manager of the Tigers? What the hell is he doing? I mean, is he just going to leave Fernando Rodney out here until the game ends? I mean, I think that's what's going to happen. He's going to leave him out here until the game ends. But I mean, how many pitches are you going to let him throw? I get you have guys you don't trust. You want to say, but you got to go to somebody else. And I'm just going to leave Fernando Rodney out. I'm just going to leave him out there. When the game ends, the game ends. What if it's the 18th inning? Then Fernando Rodney is still pitching in the 18th inning. I think the game ended and Fernando Rodney was still on the mound waiting for Jim Leland to go out and get him. Hey, I can't leave the mound yet. Why? Leland comes out and gets me. He's not coming out to get you. The game's over. We're turning the lights off. Yeah, but Leland's got to come out to get me. Still left him in all the way through the 12th inning.
Ready? Porcello, 92 pitches in his 5 2/3. Okay. Gives way to Minor, who comes in 23 pitches, 15 strikes. He goes 2/3 of an inning. Knee comes in 4 pitches, end of the inning. Brandon Lyon, 1 2/3, 26 pitches. Fernando Rodney, 48 pitches before it was all set.
I mean, how many pitches are you going to let a closer throw? I mean, seriously, at some point you go to somebody else, right? You bring in Verlander or Jackson or something. I know you, well, we got to save a guy, but it doesn't matter if you lose the game.
Right, there's no tomorrow.
It doesn't matter. So I'm going to leave Fernando Rodney on the mound. Now, here's where Alexi Casilla comes up, and he makes up for being the GOAT a couple innings before by not being able to tag up and score. He singles through the right side to drive in Carlos Gomez with the game-winning run. And this is it, and the Twins win the game, and Fernando Rodney, I think, is still on the mound waiting for him to come out and get him. And it was just one of those games where you had so many times where one team let the other team off the hook in extra innings. It was going to be something like this, and clearly it was the Tigers not being able to score and not going to a new pitcher when clearly Rodney is kind of losing it. This was it. Again, not the last time I'm going to say Fernando Rodney's still on the mound. That's the theme of this podcast. Casilla comes up with the game-winning run at second base. He singles through the right side to drive in Carlos Gomez. The Twins win. Big celebration. Casilla makes up for the fact that he has a bonehead play by not being able to tag up right off a third base a couple innings before. The Twins win the game. They win the AL Central. They eliminate the Detroit Tigers. And that entire night on my radio show on ESPN, I think I spent the most of the night talking about how Fernando Rodney, I can't believe he was on there. And I really thought Jim Leland was going to retire. I really did. I thought after the game, Leland's going to say, I'm done. That something happened with him and he just was done and he was going to retire, leaving Rodney out there, stopping managing for the last 3.5 innings. I'm like, what are you doing? I really thought Leland was going to retire. I thought we're going to get that the next day. Leland's done. He's walking away. I remember talking about it on ESPN radio with a couple of our baseball analysts. And they were like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. This might be it for Jim Leland. And that became big speculation. Now, he didn't. And I really still to this day don't understand why he never made a pitching change.
I don't know. It seems like you had plenty of capable arms to try to give you a third or 2/3. Or, I mean, by the new rules, you got to go 3 batters. But back then, hey, all hands on deck. It's win or go home. As cliched as that is, this was legitimately win or go home. And there's Fernando Rodney still going after it. We'll get into him as in the where are they now is a little bit later. But yeah, with Jim Leland, did you resign yourself that was it?
Well, there's right? also so many times when you see how many great managers and you go, boy, that was a great move. The pinch hitting here, the pinch running here, this here. And then you say to yourself, what the hell are you doing with the bullpen? What the hell is that? I don't understand. And that happened for a lot of managers. For a lot of managers, the rest of the game they get, but they can't figure out the bullpen. It's like the NFL head coach that does everything great but can't figure out how to manage a clock near the end of the game and doesn't know what to do, when we can kneel on the football, when we can do X, Y, and Z. It baffles you because it's part of the game, but you see a lot of managers just don't do it because either they manage with a combination of a feel versus sabermetric, and it just doesn't work. You know, I got a gut for this guy coming in here. Well, all right, maybe that might not work. But by the book says I should do this here. Well, maybe you should have left this guy in because he was pitching really well. It's really hard. The bullpen is really, you think it would be something where, okay, I'm going to bring in the better pitcher and go here, and I'm going to go lefty, 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 righty, righty. But plenty of managers don't know how to do it. But I don't care what kind of manager you are. At some point, you had to bring somebody else in besides Fernando Rodney. And the 12th inning was a perfect time to do it, but they didn't do it.
What if he finished that inning off? Would he have come back out?
Of course he would have. They could still be playing the game now, 7 years later, and it would be Rodney still on the mound in his 445th inning of relief. He has thrown 17,000 pitches. There's a fastball at about 8 miles an hour over the plate for strike one. That's what would happen.
I like that.
They actually replayed this game earlier during the COVID-19 pandemic, earlier in the spring. I just want to read a couple of tweets for you from Cespedes Family Barbecue, is always fun, entertaining Twitter.
Sure.
Cespedes Family Barbecue is watching the game and said, "Oh, look at 32-year-old Fernando Rodney coming in during this Tigers-Twins game. I'm like, oh, he looks so young and cute, right?" Because he was 32, he was old, but he was young, and you know, because he's still pitching. And then a tweet a few minutes later was, "Leland Living Rodney in for three full innings is so funny to me. Riding or dying with your dude is cool, but Rodney was gassed." So even years later, people can see it. I didn't understand it. In fact, one of our best friends, Pam and I's best friends, he's a diehard Tigers fan. You know, Pam is from Detroit. He's a diehard Tigers fan. And every time he's telling me about a Tigers game, we'll talk on the phone once in a while. I go, "Oh, did you see the Tigers game tonight?" I go, "Yes, Leland left Fernando Rodney in way too long." And he'd say, "Blank you, stop bringing up that bleeping game." He gets so mad at me. I mean, he wants to tell me a story about, you know, Nick Castellanos or something else. Or, you know, I'm just like, because Fernando Rodney's still on the mound. He gets so mad at me when I say that.
You should make him a nice greeting card for the holidays. And then when he opens it up, it's a pop-up Fernando Rodney.
Hey, here it is. Congratulations. So that's how the game ended for the Twins and the Tigers. The Twins move on. The Tigers go home. What was next for both of these teams? Find out next. As for one of these squads, it was a chance at near immortality a year later and the debut of a player who is still getting it done as one of the best at his position in the majors. All that and more coming up next right here on Special Teams.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant. AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. "I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge." Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, wool and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
So what happens next for the Tigers and the Twins as they move on following this crazy-ass 2009 game number 163 AL Central Division title play-in winner? That's a long title. This is why, you know, football games have shorter titles. Like, you know, a big game, we title it by somebody else. You know, it's a 4th and 26 game, which we have. You know, you have the fake spike game. We have all
that. Sure, there's one play that defines it or a surname.
Baseball doesn't have that. It's the 2009 AL Central play-in tiebreaker game between the Twins and the Tigers.
We can't just say, why was Fernando Rodney still on the mound?
Yeah, you know, we could call it the Fernando Rodney game. Oh, that's the Fernando Rodney game. I think we could call it that if you wanted to. I didn't think about that. Fernando Rodney game. That'll be the title. All right.
All right.
So for the Tigers, they become the first team in baseball history to have a 3-game lead with 4 games left, because game number 163 is a regular season game, and lose the division. So suddenly not feeling so bad, the Mets blew a 7-game lead with 17 to go a couple of years before that. You blow a 3-game lead with 4 left, that's a bigger deal.
Nah, it's still the Mets. Still the Mets. It is still the bigger deal.
Yeah,
sorry.
All right. Well, all right. I tried, though. I tried.
I know. Good effort.
The next season, Detroit fell back to .500, but the good news for them was they had the debut of a guy who's become one of the top 3 pitchers in baseball over the past decade in Max Scherzer. June of that year, Armando Galarraga's near-perfect game. We just celebrated the 10-year anniversary of it not too long ago. Still one of the most talked-about games in baseball history.
Yep.
But after that bad year in 2010, Detroit went back to the playoffs the next 4 years after that. And to try to put the Tigers of the early teens into perspective, they were almost like the Buffalo Bills of the early 90s that went to 4 straight Super Bowls and lost, because the Tigers had so much talent, but they couldn't win with Miguel Cabrera, Max Scherzer, and Justin Verlander. You would think at some point, 1 year, they would put it all together and win. They got close a couple of times, but you would think with that kind of talent, that kind of over-the-top great talent, they would find a way to win, and they couldn't do it.
You know, in the end, you still got a field, a full lineup. A couple of all-stars and doffing the caps at the Midsummer Classic isn't enough to get you all the way through, right? The rest of that lineup was never really that powerhouse that we've seen, you know, or we even experienced in the year that we chronicled here, that, you know, you were going off those 2 arms, almost like Arizona did when you had Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling. And then you'd have 1 or 2 stars in the batting order thinking you were going to get over. Unfortunately, this was enough to get you into the dance. You couldn't finish it, and you were left on the floor sullen.
That's pretty well sold. I mean, you really just kind of just took me right down right there.
I just took you right
left
there.
Left on the floor sullen, like, ooh.
Boom.
That's not how I thought you would end that.
No. Left, I mean, look, I love Victor Martinez like everybody else, and J.D. Martinez before he became J.D. Martinez, but... Yeah, I mean, it was Miguel Cabrera and a bunch of guys.
I thought you were going to kind of end it like the end of Return of the Jedi, where the Death Star gets blown up. We're singing Yub Nub together.
Oh, we could. I mean, I think that's at the end. I mean, because we'll find positivity in what guys are doing now. But yeah.
Yub Nub. Do-do-do-do-do, yep, no. Now, for the Minnesota Twins, their season ended. Stop me if you heard this before. They lose to the Yankees in the playoffs.
Go figure.
They get swept, and it's the last year of the Metrodome, which when it debuted, I remember, that was the first ballpark I remember that came in brand new that was so different, the big trash bag in the outfield. Minnesota, when I was a kid, they played outdoors, and it was, you know, they were just okay, and it was cold in the spring, and it was cold in the fall, but they move indoors, and suddenly... This is a team that reinvents itself, and they just spray the ball all over the field, right? And with the baggie up against the wall in the outfield, it was so interesting. And, you know, it was the end of an era with the Metrodome, because that was so much fun. and Minnesota really built their team surrounding it. They move into Target Field in 2010. Doesn't matter. They win the AL Central again. Then they hit the skids for 5 years. But this is a team that really has figured out how to be the every other year mid-size market threat, right? They know who they are. The Twins are never going to be a team that builds a dynasty. They're going to be a team that stays in contention. Every couple of years we win or we make it to the playoffs, and maybe 1 year we can get hot, make it all the way. But they know their identity. I mean, look, the last 18 years have been in the playoffs 8 times. I take that. You're almost in the playoffs every other year.
Oh, yeah, sure.
To figure out who you are is a really big deal, and not ever worry about, well, how do we rebuild? Do we spend a lot of money? Do we not spend a lot of money? Do we wait for the kids to come up? Do we trade the kids for established players? You wind up doing that, you wind up like the San Diego Padres. You're in that hellish, you know, hamster wheel of rebuilding with a different strategy every couple of years. The Twins have figured out how to do it right. And hey, look, there's worse things in the world than being a Twins fan. Y'all, the Twins can never win it all. Yeah, but you know what? Is winning it all something you can expect from one of your teams? Or is contending every other year being good enough to get to the playoffs and give you something to play for? I think every fan would sign up for something like that.
Like I say, you like to be in contention and have games be meaningful in September. And the second wild card has certainly brought us that. 2019, the first year in a decade that the Twins had won the AL Central. Let's just put some numbers on it. 6 of their last 7 playoff exits have been at the hands of the Yankees.
Yeah, always happens. They play the Yankees, they lose.
By the way, the trash bag place, that sucked.
Oh, come on. It was different, though. That's why I like being different.
Did you ever go there, though?
No, but it was fun to watch on TV.
Horrible.
Come on, they had the hockey plexiglass up against the wall in the outfield.
No, I know. It was terrible, though. I went to a couple of games there before they defeated it, and I was like, why am I here? Why did I come back?
Oh, and Bookaboom rides Mike Modano into the boards. Oh, my goodness. That was
a
hit.
Wow, a Bookaboom reference.
So that's how it ended that year for the Twins and the Tigers. Again, Fernando Rodney is still on the mound. How about some Where Are They Now? You have a power of positivity. Where Are They Now for us, right?
Oh, there's no question. You got Kevin Mulvey, who is a Villanova baseball coach. Craig Breslow, who was called the smartest guy in baseball. He's the director of strategic initiatives for baseball ops. How you like that?
Wow.
You got Dusty Ryan. His first major league at bat was a home run. That's cool. He's a heavy equipment manager for the irrigation district of Merced, California. Jason Kubel is coaching Little League.
Oh, that's cool.
Glugach, he is a area sales manager for Augmetics. He was a middle infielder, so now selling surgical systems.
These are guys that all really said baseball was like a stop for them on their way.
Well, but that's just
it. I played baseball for them. Then what happened? Oh, then I really got into doing some really cool things.
Well, because you got to dig a little deeper. See what I did there?
Oh, bring nice.
Back
yeah,
Dusty
yeah,
Ryan
yeah.
there. Yeah. And I also want to have you know, as of right now, as you and I speak, Fernando Rodney does not yet have a job for 2020. I'm still holding out hope.
He's still on the mound in Minnesota. He's still waiting. I mean,
look, first major league appearance took place in 2002.
Yeah?
I want to get him to 20. Come on, let's go.
Didn't he have a run of being in the playoffs like every year for like 6 straight years?
I think that's
he
right.
He had a big run, I want to say, that he did that, Fernando Rodney.
Yeah, you look at the number of teams at this point. You go Detroit, L.A., Tampa, Seattle, Cubs, San Diego, Miami, Arizona, Minnesota, Oakland, and Washington.
Yeah, he's been everywhere. He has been everywhere. His postseason pitching stats, I'll tell you this. He pitched in the postseason in 2015 with the Cubs, 2017 with Arizona at the age of 40, 2018 with Oakland, and then 2019 winning the World Series with the Washington Nationals.
He got that ring, baby.
So he was pitching the postseason 2013, 2015, 2017, 2018, 2019. So he's the guy you want. If you're going to do anything, he's the guy you want.
And in the World Series, he had a nice round ERA of 9.
Yeah.
Appearing in 3 games, 2 innings pitched.
Yeah.
2 hits, 2 runs. Both of those earned a home run and 6 walks.
You're going to mop up a couple of these games. Okay, got it. I'm good, coach.
I got my ring. Leave me alone.
Just come get me, right? In the 13th inning, I'm really tired. I've thrown nearly 50 pitches. Come get me, Jim Leland.
Just promise you're getting me to the 13th. Now let me get another drag of my smoke.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike is at Swollen Dome. It's Special Teams with Jason Smith and Mike Harmon. If you have a future idea for an episode of Special Teams, hey, drop us a note on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Make sure you rate us after you listen to this. It allows us to bring you great content like this, if I do say so myself. Give us 5 stars. We'll love you forever. If you hated it, if you're Fernando Rodney, if you're a Tigers fan, still give us 5 stars. I won't tell anybody. We'll talk to you next week. Got a couple more big NFL games. Big time NFL playoff games with names and everything coming your way next couple weeks on Special Teams. Before you go, rate and review the show, whether you're listening on iHeartRadio, iHeartRadio apps, Apple, whatever it is. Give us a rate. Tell us you like it. We will love you forever and ever and ever. Special Teams is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.